Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for downloading this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. Open enrollment for healthcare through the Affordable Care Act is now underway and in a lot of workplaces, including mine. This week, we are talking to Bernard Tyson. He's the chairman and CEO of Kaiser Foundation Health Plan and hospitals, known better probably to you as Kaiser Permanente, one of this country's biggest healthcare and hospital organizations. And as you're going to hear in this conversation, this is no boring time to be a boss in the healthcare industry. But for Mr. Tyson and Kaiser Permanente, they are not backing down. High costs, poor coverage, or poor health are all things he's thinking about. Also, by the way, political drama. Here you go. Bernard Tyson, the CEO of Kaiser Permanente. Mr. Tyson, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
Do I have it right that you wanted to work in hospitals, like not necessarily as a doctor, but work in hospitals since you were a kid?
Yes, actually, I wanted to be a doctor.
Did you?
Yes, originally I wanted to be a doctor, but I've always wanted to work in hospitals, and I've been very fortunate that in my career I have had the privilege of running hospitals.
Why? What is it about hospitals that is attractive to you?
The whole mission of what a hospital does, it's there to take care of people in need. And I think the thing that fascinates me still about hospitals is that you have the whole continuum of life right in the four walls of a hospital. You could go on one floor. You can see a family crying because they just brought a new baby in the world. You could go on another floor. You see a family crying because it's the end of the life for someone else. And so you have the whole continuum of life going on inside of the four walls of a hospital.
The catch, of course, is that within those four walls also, birth and death, and you got to run a business, which is a complicating factor because it's really emotional, it's difficult, and it's complicated.
Well, but when you look at the evolution of healthcare today, and specifically, you look at the approach that we take at Kaiser Permanente, the hospital still plays a critical role, but it's not the central role. Because now we're able to take care of many of the illnesses outside of the hospital setting. And so there are different models and different methods that our physicians in the Permanente medical groups apply to the needs of millions of people. So you look at our capabilities that we have right now with telehealth, for example, mm-hmm. that allows a member to have a personal relationship with their physician, and they can do things via technology to take care of health needs that in the past would have been done in a medical office building setting and mm-hmm. or in a hospital setting. So it's evolved over the years, and I think it's going to continue to evolve.
And in theory, that makes it more simple and less costly for you as the provider, and it provides the patient access. I do wonder, though, given where we are today with healthcare and the national debate, how worried are you that people don't understand the healthcare economy in this country?
I think people are learning more about it as the burden of the high cost of care is more and more being passed on to people. Mm. And they're asking very different questions, and appropriately so. It is very expensive, and there's no question that the affordability challenges that we have in the industry and therefore in the country is probably the biggest priority that we must continue to work on and figure out how we address appropriately in this country. There are two parts to the affordability that I think about all the time. The affordability of coverage yeah. and the affordability of care. Those are two very different things.
Help me out then, because what's the difference?
Well, you think about the affordability of coverage, a lot of that has to do with how much of the cost you shift to different funders, right? So
yeah.
if the funder is the employer, if the employer starts to shift more of the cost to the employees, they generally ask for different kinds of products, if you will,
yeah.
which means that I may find something that I can pay that's less expensive for the coverage.
Yep.
But then when I need care, and now all of a sudden I discover what it means to have a $5,000 deductible,
yeah.
then I can't afford to get the care. And then on the care side, it's very expensive. You have all the ingredients that goes into health care that includes specialty drugs, that includes the cost of building hospitals, the benefits and wages that we have to pay appropriately so for our professionals. It's a lot of stuff that goes into the calculation of health care costs.
Do you think it's – well – let me ask the question in a different way. Do you think it's solvable, this dilemma of coverage and care and cost?
Absolutely.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
Have you called people in Washington? Because
no, I mean, I think it's a journey that we're on. But the idea that the healthcare industry is as efficient as it can be, that it is as effective as it can be, and there aren't additional things that we can and should not be doing in the industry, I think anyone who's really been thinking about this a lot would come in and say, no, there are more things that we can do to create more efficiencies and effectiveness in the healthcare industry. And by the way, there are many people working on that. I mean, obviously, Kaiser Permanente has been working on it for years. While we feel like we've made progress, we also are still working on how to make healthcare more affordable for millions of people who depend on Kaiser Permanente.
I want to get to Kaiser and what you are doing in a minute, but I do have to ask a follow-up question to that then, which is, why isn't it being done? Why isn't it changing?
It's evolving. I mean, you still have the center gravity of healthcare, still the hospital setting. I think that's starting to shift. And so you will start to see those changes over time, I believe, play out in the economics. I think as more people are paying out of pocket, they're asking the harder questions of the industry, and they are very appropriate questions. What are the alternatives? Why am I taking this? How else can I get what I need without having to go into the most expensive setting? So the narrative is changing over time, and some of that is driven by the fact that people are paying more out of pocket, and rightfully so, they're asking the right questions.
I lied. I'm going to ask you one more question in this thread, and then I'm going to move on. Are they asking the right questions not of their healthcare providers and their coverage providers, but of the politicians?
I think they're asking the right questions of both, actually. But I have to also say that, you know, until maybe the last 10 years or so, where you can feel the intensity of the questions and the issues, I don't think that they're pointing to one versus the other. I think they're just broadly saying, fix these problems. It is unacceptable that I'm paying more for coverage and care than I am my house note, or I'm trying to feed my children. And so I don't think they come in and say, I'm now pointing the finger at you and I'm trying to figure out, is it your problem or is it the government's problem? They're saying, whoever problem it is, this is unacceptable.
To Kaiser Permanente then and what y'all are doing. You are a data guy from way back. Your first job in a hospital was a data analyst. Kaiser Permanente does a lot of really localized coverage. You look at it by zip codes. You have special projects going in a lot of cities, one of which is Baltimore. I want you to tell me about what Kaiser Permanente is doing in Baltimore with barbershops and beauty salons.
You know, we are working on this total health concept, right? The industry is still predominantly a sick care model. Our model has always been how to prevent, how to manage health, how to help people to live healthy lives. So fast forward to the 21st century, we describe that as total health. We don't just think about when you get sick, we're here for you. We think proactively, what are the determinants of your health outcomes that we can predict now based on many factors, one of which is where you live. Mm-hmm. We call that the zip code. So we know that in certain zip codes in which the infrastructure is not there, meaning you don't have basic necessities in your community, like grocery stores for good eating, issues of crime that creates stress, the inability to do and go out for recreation. And so we look comprehensively inside of our communities around the country. We also now have data that shows in populations different health outcomes, high blood pressure, heart disease, asthma, all these kinds of illnesses that over time will wear down the body. So we've been gearing programs that are specific to communities. And one is the example that you were given about Baltimore. And by the way, it fits with where I was at today before I got here, which was our 41st Diversity and Inclusive Conference. And
in healthcare specifically?
in healthcare specifically. Yeah. So we know that there are nuances of the different ethnic groups that we take care of that we are working hard to better understand them so we can meet people where they are. So this example in which you take what we've been doing in the Baltimore area and in some of our other communities of color around the country, we know that there are different ways in which we can meet our members. And in this example, African-American men in programs of getting them more care where they are. And so we have gone into barbershops and another community. We might do barbershops in churches, and we go into the trusted environments to talk about health and healthcare. And in some cases, we actually have the barbers and the ministers in church settings who have great credibility in the communities helping to promote health.
Because you have to convince folks that they need to be met, right?
That's right.
The deal.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
This is not a boring time to be in healthcare in this economy.
No, it's not. There's
a crystal ball question to be asked, but that would be almost too complicated. But the question is, what is the trajectory of your industry, the hospital-based healthcare industry in this economy? Are we going to see lower costs that you've been talking about? Are we going to see people being able to get more care as they ask these questions that you and I have talked about?
Yes, I think that you're going to continue to see the healthcare industry evolve. You're going to continue to see the hospitals playing a critical role, but not the central role.
Is that a good thing?
Absolutely. Because it's all about the right care in the right setting.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see more organizations who truly will embrace the Kaiser Permanente model. And it won't be specifically the Kaiser Permanente model, but the idea that you're investing upstream for health, which speaks to early detection, early diagnosis, early treatment, as opposed to waiting until something really affects the human body, you're going to see those changes happening in the industry. The last thing I would say is with now all of us learning more about artificial intelligence and what kind of data can we now use in a very different way to begin to predict certain outcomes, you're going to see a shift fundamentally in how you proactively manage health upstream as opposed to reacting after the body gives a signal to an individual to seek help.
But we don't have, I mean, part of it's human, right? But we in the United States don't have a history of great foresight and investing upstream, right? That's, I mean, we just don't look at infrastructure, look at our politics, look at almost anything.
Yeah, but I would say if you look inside of the Kaiser Permanente population and you also look at our model, I can show you examples where a large segment of our population are very proactive in trying to manage their health. And so a lot of this is about the effective partnership and the ability to translate where the person can really understand it is in their best interest. And so there are a lot of people very interested in health and what can I do to preserve my good health and how can I help to manage my good health? The challenge, of course, is there are so many things around us that gets in the way of that. How we live today is very different than how we lived in the past.
Yeah.
And by the way, the secret hasn't changed. It's predominantly about what you eat, how you exercise, how you sleep, how you manage stress. Sounds easy, but it is complicated for all of us.
I don't want to make too much of this, but since you and I are sitting in the same radio studio, it bears a mention here as we talk as we have about inequality in healthcare across populations in this country. You're an African-American man running a healthcare company, which brings with it its own set of challenges, I imagine.
Yes. Yes. The challenges are complicated, just like we are in society. However, there's learning, there's growth, there's how do we move forward and how do we work together? I mean, one of the beautiful things that you see inside of the Kaiser Permanente model is we work very hard to create an inclusive environment, which is much more than the diversity. Diversity says, do I have one or two of each, right? Or what's the number count? You can have a a minority majority and still not have an inclusive environment. Having an inclusive environment says, no, you get to come into the four walls of Kaiser Permanente and be who you are. You have a right to be at the table. So you don't have to come in and shed your history and shed all of who makes Bernard Bernard to get along, right? What you get to come in is say, I'm here, period. There's nothing after that. And I'm here because I have something to contribute. So I'm not wasting my energy trying to figure out how to get along. I figure out how we all work together towards the common good that we're all here for. Over time, you learn how to exist in an environment where everybody is respected for who they are. And then, of course, you have some ground rules about how you're going to have civil discord. How can we agree to disagree? Yeah. How can we have healthy debates with each other, but not at each other? How do we make sure that each person is bringing their experience into the environment? Because guess what? Based on their experience, they may have a better answer for the relevant issues that we're trying to solve in today's time.
Bernard Tyson is the chairman and CEO of Kaiser Permanente. Mr. Tyson, thanks a lot for coming in, sir. I appreciate it.
It was an honor.
That's my conversation with Bernard Tyson, CEO and chairman of Kaiser Permanente. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, of course, also wherever you do choose to download. Leave us a review. Would you let us know what you think about what we're doing? Just be gentle, be kind. Corner Office is produced by Daisy Palacios. This episode was produced by Bennett Purser. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. Another episode for you in a couple of weeks.